Okay, thank you, folks. Open your Bibles again to 1 John. We're taking our time, I guess, getting through the little book of 1 John. We're still be talking about some verses in chapter 2 today, but we're studying that in Sunday school for just a little bit here, and we'll jump on another point today here in chapter 2 before we get out of it. Basically, we remember that the book is written to believers, written to Christians, even though spiritually there's some applications we can make to those outside of Christ. We can tell them the blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin, even though that is talking to the Christian about keeping short accounts with God and staying prayed up and, as it were, keeping clean feet in our walk with the Lord. But we studied several points here in chapter 1 and chapter 2. We studied to begin with that Jesus, we're talking about what we have in him. We started talking about the fact that he's our advocate. Isn't it good when you know somebody's for you? Well, we got the best one for us that could be. That's the Lord Jesus. He's our advocate before the throne. He's the one that stands against the prosecuting attorney, which is the old accuser of the brethren, the devil. And I'm glad I'm represented by Christ. Nobody else could do it. I could not do it for myself, and nobody else could do it for me, but he's my advocate before the throne. He can be my advocate because we studied number 2 that he was our propitiation. He's the one that appeased the wrath of God on our sin. And as we looked on that, we realize that that's a big word, but it's such an important word. It has to do with the judgment seat, not the judgment seat, but the seat that the high priest, the mercy seat the high priest went into once a year, placed the blood of the lamb as our atonement. Somebody said the word atonement, if you want to kind of think about what the atonement is. We have our atonement in the Lord Jesus, and somebody said that's at one but. As you spell the word, atonement, at one but makes you and I one with the Lord. It breaks down the barrier. And the blood was offered on the mercy seat once a year by the high priest. That was the only time he could speak the real name of God. And he had to be clean himself or God would kill him. Remember, there was no light in the Holy of Holies when he went in. There was the Shekinah glory of God. And no artificial light in there whatsoever. And I told you before that the mercy seat, of course, was located on the Ark of the Covenant with the cherubim bending over from each side over the mercy seat. What a wonderful picture it was. I remind you again, when Mary went to the open tomb and went in, there was an angel at the foot and at the head of Jesus, bent over just like the cherubims on the Ark, telling you something, telling you Jesus was the mercy seat. He is the one where the blood atonement had to be offered. I don't know. It's pretty good theory, and I think makes maybe some good sense that when he told Mary, "Don't touch me, I've not yet ascended unto the Father," that he was yet to go to the mercy seat in heaven, the real one, and place the blood on the mercy seat. Now that's kind of logical because the high priest couldn't be touched when he went in once a year into the Holy of Holies. He had to be so perfectly ceremonially clean, and his own life was at risk if he tried to fake it and go in. It said that God would kill him in there. Anyway, he became our propitiation. He's the one that appeased the wrath of God as he took it on himself, that belonged to me. And so we understand what the word means. Then we talked about Jesus being our abiding place, and that's mentioned several times. You see, we don't only get saved and then he forgets us. Sometimes we soul winners win somebody and it appears we forget them. Jesus never forgets us. He's our abiding place. He is within us and we're within him. And nobody else may understand you, but Jesus will. You can abide in him. The more we abide in him, the more the Christian life will make sense. The further we get from him, the more problems we're going to have. And it's a sad thing, but Sometimes I see as a pastor, I see folks let their problems take them away from the Lord when it should have brought them closer to the Lord. Even sometimes when we feel like, well, I done wrong and God is chastening me, that's still not the time to run from him. Amen. But to run closer to him. As a kid, I was born on a farm and the peach tree had no peaches because mama stripped them for switches. My brother and I, we caught them in here switching from a peach tree limb. None we didn't deserve, I'm sure. But I did learn something as a kid. By the way, they say the definition of insanity is when you do the same thing over and over and expect different results. Well, I learned from a switching. Don't run from mama, get closer to her. Same thing with God. I've learned when he wants to switch me, I need to draw closer. You see, mama get me by the hand like this, you know, and you get that circle going. You run around picking up your legs. She just laying it on you, that switch like that. Now, you ladies don't look dumb. You've done it, whether you want to admit it or not. If you hadn't, your kid didn't get the right raising. But anyway, I learned the further I pulled from mama, the better lick she got. The closer I got to her, the harder it was. Amen. Get close to God, the chastening will be a lot less. And you know, I draw to her, mama, I love you. Mama, I didn't mean to. Mama, I won't do it again. Of course, I did. But we sometimes let our troubles pull us away from God when we ought to pull up close to him. And so he's our abiding place. Then also, we talked last week, he's our anointer. Now, I want you to look at the verse again. We're in chapter 2 here of 1 John. And I want us to look up at about verse 20. We're going to look at several of these verses now from verse 20 down, next few verses. But we have an unction from the Holy One, and you know all things. Do you really understand that when you really get born again, you may not have a degree from nowhere. You might not have graduated high school. But if you can realize the Lord lives within you and wants to teach you, and will teach you from his word, and you can become very knowledgeable. I'll tell you this. I'd rather know a man that's saved and knows something about the Bible than I had the greatest scientists that don't know the Lord. There's a whole big difference in worldly knowledge and spiritual knowledge. And you're not going to have spiritual knowledge if you don't have the unction within, if you don't have the Lord living within. And that's what he's saying here. He says, you have an unction from the Holy One. You know all things. I've not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you know it. That no lie is of the truth. Now we're going to deal with the next point here. Who is a liar? But he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ. He is Antichrist. That denieth the Father and the Son. Now, before I leave the thought of him being the anointer, remember, and I hope you wrote verses down, I sent you over to the Gospel of John, chapter 14 and chapter 16, for us to get one big point about Jesus being the anointer. He anoints us with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not speak of himself. He does not glorify himself. He glorifies the Lord. Need to understand that. I think it grieves the Holy Spirit sometimes. Well-meaning people, saved people, I believe, in many cases, put more praise on the Holy Spirit than they do on Jesus. Yet it says he'll not speak of himself, that he'll take what he's gotten from me and give it to you. And he doesn't glorify himself, he glorifies Jesus. Now, if you can get a hold of that, you'll spot a lot of error, especially on TV today. A whole lot of the cons that go on and all the talk that's going on. I think I told you this, but I want to hear it again. I'm going to tell you again. I think I told you last week. I heard a fellow on TV, and he was preaching all this planet conjunction thing that Jesus was fixing to come. And by the way, I wish he'd been right. It ain't over yet. He can still come today or tomorrow or whenever he wants to. His coming is imminent. But anyway, the guy was really waxing on this stuff, and he had it nailed down. It was going to be the 23rd. You only had 2 days. Or a day, and then he got to closer to the end of his message, then he's going to take up a big offering. I wanted to say, who are you giving the offering to? You're supposed to leave. Just a con, you know, just a con. Prove something. Prove number one, he didn't believe he was leaving. He had some more. Anyway, you see, you spot that stuff. And that's why the lost man, he spots it too. Fellow unsaved, he spots the foolishness of it. He spots the greed. He spots the, and all that business. So we want to be very careful about that. Yes, the Lord does anoint us with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, we can have more of him than most of us have. So how do I get more? Empty more self out. It's not that do I have the Holy Spirit. It's how much of me he has. He's going to live with any man. I'm born again by his Spirit. Am I going to put him in the closet or am I going to give him the whole house? Am I going to let him be the ruler of the roost or just put him back in the corner? Say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the more I do that pleases God, the more I feed on the things of God, feed on his church, feed on his cause, feed on his Bible, feed on prayer, feed on the helping somebody else, witnessing somebody. All of that helps me to be filled with the Lord instead of my own selfish ways. Somebody says, what is backslidden? Backslidden is being filled with yourself instead of the Lord. Read over there. Read over there where it just says that the backslider is filled with his own ways. Has his own way. We all in the flesh, so we're going to all have to fight that much of the time. But the more we let the Lord rule and have of us, the more we have of the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. All right, I'll move on from that. Just to say, remember, he is the anointer. The Holy Spirit glorifies him, not the other way around. Need to get a hold of that. Now, you see this talking about the anointing here. I read in verse 20, and it goes on down through verse 29. But I want, for sake of time and finally getting through the book, I want to start on another point this morning. That point is, he's not only the advocate, he's not only our propitiation, he's not only our abiding place, he's not only our anointer, but here we find that he is the Christ, the Son of God. And that's big. So, well, I know that, yeah, but you'd be surprised what the world's fighting about today is exactly that. They're really fighting about, whether they know it or not, against Christ and him being God. Look at it here as we move on down through the verses. Pick it up in verse 22, chapter 2 now. Who is a liar, but he denieth that Jesus is the Christ? Now the word Christ means anointed, but it's talking about, is Jesus who came in the flesh, is he God's Christ? Is he God? That's the question that the world is still fighting about. The one that denies that, this verse says, is Antichrist. Now we know that there's a difference in the Antichrist that will show up in a man, devil incarnate, we know that. But there's also an Antichrist spirit. And boy, are we fighting the Antichrist spirit today. John tells us about that. He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Let me say this. You read over in John 10 and other places, and you'll find out you can't have the Father if you don't honor the Son. You got that? All right, let me get it real practical. There's a crowd that goes around on Sunday morning. I joke about it. They go around ringing doorbells saying there is no hell. Do you know who I'm talking about? Yes, talking about the Jehovah's Witness. And they catch a lot of backslidden Baptists at home that ought to be in church. And so then they come to their pastor with dumb questions because they've been fouled up because they ought to have been in church learning something instead of being confused at the door with the cult. That's the truth. Now, what are they going to deny? They won't tell you real easy, but they deny that Jesus is the Christ. They deny that Jesus that came incarnate in the flesh is God. Now, do you know how to answer them? Now, I understand probably the safest thing for most of you is just don't invite them in, number one. Don't bid them Godspeed. That's what John says. Don't do that. But if you're capable enough, you might even help some of them to see the truth. Sometime you can. It's generally not so because they've been so brainwashed. I asked one of them one time, They gave me a spiel, and I answered back. Then I said to him, I said, but you didn't hear a word I said, did you? Looked at me kind of blank. I said, while I was talking, you were thinking about what you were going to come back with. And you didn't hear one thing I said. And they had a guilt look on the face. Well, yeah. I said, you're never going to get out of that cult that's sending you to hell until you start listening to the truth. And folks, that's very real. Now, do you know where to go in your Bible to show them that Jesus and God was one? It's many places, but you ought to at least be able to show them a little bit. You know what they teach, don't you? They teach, number one, that grave where you dig a hole out in the ground, put a body, they teach that's hell. That's not. It don't have fire in it. That body goes down and the worms eat it. But it don't burn in the grave. But they teach that, no hell. And if you really, I'm going to get off on this and let my time go if I'm not careful. did you ever see Dagwood in the paper when he gets a mischievous grin on his face? I have that problem sometime. I wasn't in the ministry. I was a youth leader in my church before I surrendered to preach. It was a Saturday morning, and for some reason I was home. I don't know why, but I was home changing clothes, I think. And I heard car doors outside, and I stepped to the window and looked, and two or three cars had pulled up on my street, and this bunch of folks were scattering out of the cars to go to the doors. Well, I immediately knew who it was. And so two ladies headed to my door, and I got that mischievous Dagwood attitude. I just couldn't help it. And so when they knocked on the door, I opened it real quick, and they said, oh, we're the Watchtower Society or whatever. I said, I'm not a good actor, but I acted good that morning. I said, good. I just got off the phone, and the doctor told me I've only got a couple of days to live. Can you tell me how to go to heaven? They looked so shocked. Tell me. I may die any minute. Tell me. See, they can't tell you. They have no way to tell you. Finally, one of them mumbled a little bit and said, well, maybe we could come in and have a Bible study. Maybe we could get Brother so-and-so to come over and talk to you. I said, oh, no, I may die right now. Tell me right now how to go to heaven. And I played that game with them for two or three minutes. They were so bum-puzzled. See, they can't take you to John 3:16. They can't take you to Romans 10. They can't tell you how to be saved and how you can know it. You and I ought to be able to tell anybody, if we're saved, how they'd get saved. Yeah, but I've had this happen to me. Come up on a car wreck on the road. Some man thrown out of the car, dying in the ditch. I've had that experience. I'm thankful I could take and show him how he could be saved before the ambulance ever got there. Jehovah's Witness can't do that. See, you got to learn their system. And the best you can learn is maybe you're going to be good enough to live in the millennial reign with them. See, I remember those ladies, they were so confused. Finally, I said to him, I said, now I want you to look how helpless you are. Here's a man telling you he's going to die, and you can't tell him how to go to heaven. I said, now I was joking. As far as I know, I'm going to live a while. But I said, you couldn't have helped me if I was taking my last breath. I said, I want you to see how powerless your cult really is. You know, I watched them. They went back to the car, got in the back seat, never knocked another door. I hope they thought on that some. That's terrible, but there's a bunch of cults out there. They can't tell you how to go to heaven. They can't visit a dying thief on the cross and tell him how to be saved. They can't have a deathbed conversion. They're not saved themselves. How do they tell anybody else? But their big thing is that Jesus, one of them told me, said, well, I always just thought of Jesus as a little boy kind of hanging around the Father. So silly. No, the test is, who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? Now, they teach a lot of stuff. They teach soul sleep. Know that? Soul sleep, put the body in the grave. Nobody knows anything. The soul's stuck to the body. It's in there, and it sleeps until resurrection morning. And if it's been good enough, It'll come out and live in the millennial reign when the animals quit eating each other and the weather's just right. And all that's their plan. But if you're not good enough, you never come out. You never know nothing. You're just dead like a tree limb that rots out there. There's not much hope in that, is there? So for so long, they taught 144,000 was the only ones that would be good enough in the resurrection to come up and live during the millennial reign. Of course, the 144,000 in the book of Revelation is Jews. One of my preacher boys out of college one time asked him at the door. He was sharp. He knew his Bible. He asked him at the door. He said, are you one of the 144,000? And the Jehovah's Witness man said, yes. He said, then that means you're a Jew, right? And the man said, yeah, I'm a Jew. So Braxton Rabin asked him, said, what tribe are you from? And he looked at Braxton. He said, I'm from the tribe of Dan. And Braxton laughed and said, you ain't gonna make it. Read the book of Revelation, the tribe of Dan's left out. And it is. Check it out. It's left out. Caught that guy in his lie. You know? No, 144,000, not Jehovah's Witness. They were Jews, 12,000 from 12 tribes. Amen. And I get off on that. Now, the whole thing is Jesus is the Christ. He is God. Now, look at a few verses with me. Look at a few verses. Go with me to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2. And we'll take a look over there. I don't have it marked. You can find it quick as I can, maybe quicker. I know it's in there. I read it last year. All right. See if you're awake this morning. Philippians chapter 2. Let's see if we can pick that thing up here. Oh. Maybe I want you to go to verse 7. Philippians chapter 2. Talking about the Lord, let's just back up to about verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Now watch the next verses. Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. But he was equal with God. That's what the verse says. Now you sure Jehovah's Witness that, and they'll get their new version out to try to change that. That's one of the verses they missed when they first printed their new version. So they had to go back and change it later. Now flip back with me to the Gospel of John. And let's go to John chapter 10. And let's pick up what the Lord Jesus said on this subject himself. He says he gives us eternal life in verse 28. No man's able to pluck them out of his hand. Then he says in verse 30, just a few words, but they're big ones. He says in verse 30, I and my Father are one. Now that'll be a problem for them at the door. They'll teach you about the grave being hell and all that business. By the way, I mentioned a while ago, they teach the soul sleeping. Well, that's not in the Bible. Bible says absent from the body, present with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5. Paul said absent from the body. If I drop dead right here before I finish this Sunday school lesson, you can take this body and do a lot of things with it, but you can't catch my soul. It's going to be gone. It's going to be stepping right into the presence of the Lord. Even old Greek philosopher that they have to study in college by the name of Socrates, talking about his death, and they said something about it. He says, well, catch me if you can. He had sense enough to know there was life on the inside that was going to escape when that body went down. But the truth that the soul departs the body, Jehovah's Witness really foul folks up with that. Again, I'm talking about another case, meeting them at the door and talking with them. They have their Bible, and it's called the New World Translation. By the way, it's not much worse. In fact, in some cases, even better than some of the other new versions. But anyway, you'll count that. And when you pull out your King James, we want to use my Bible. Well, in this particular case, I said, you believe the soul sleeps with the body in the grave. Oh, yes. I said, well, it's not what your Bible teaches. Oh, yes, it is. I already told them what the King James, oh, no, that's the King James. We understand the King James says that, but that's our Bible. I said, but even your Bible teaches it don't sleep with the body. And if you'll turn over later, I won't do it now because my time's running out, but you turn over later and find the story in Genesis where Jacob is traveling with his wives and his kids. Remember? And Rachel dies at the birth of Benjamin. Remember that? And it says over there, when her soul was departing, and they forgot to clean that one up. They forgot to change it. And so I said, let me have your Bible and show it to them. One of them said, I'm going back and talk to our teacher about that. Yeah, you ought to talk to him about a bunch of stuff. But it's amazing how when they change the versions to try to change the doctrine, they every now and then they miss a spot. And they missed that one. I don't know if they've corrected it since then. Maybe they have. Or maybe I was the only guy I ever showed it to them. I don't know. but anyway, Jesus was God is the basic doctrine. He was God incarnate in the flesh. And you need to understand that. Now, why did they crucify Jesus? Because he said he was God. You read it close. You remember when they brought him to Pilate and the hypocritical religious crowd of Jews that brought him to Christ? They wouldn't even come into the castle, or we'll call it the office of Pilate, because that would defile them to go in there where the Gentile was. He had to come out and meet them on the pavement, remember? He saw the hypocrisy of that. But then he didn't want to crucify the Lord. He kept saying, I find no fault in him and all that business. But finally, when he gave in to them, and he said, why are you wanting to crucify him? I'm paraphrasing now because I'm running out of time. They said, because he made himself God. And that scared Pilate. And it had a right to scare him. Scared him big time. And then in God's providence, I've told you before, even when they put the letters on the cross in Greek and in Hebrew and Latin, you take the words they put on the cross and you look at the capital letters coming down, it was very close to the hey, vah, hey of Hebrew that identifies the name of God. That's why those Jews went back to Pilate and said, don't put that up there. Don't put that up there. If Pilate himself had known it, maybe he did. But anybody that looked at that cross and far enough away, about all they could see was the head capital words, or the first words coming down or going up, because the name in Hebrew repeats itself, hey, vah, hey, on the Hebrew letters, it was saying it's God hanging on the cross. And it was God hanging on the cross. God incarnate in the form of his Son. And wonderful truth that you and I know that today. The Bible all the way through. The Bible gives us that all the way through. If you were to look real quick in John chapter 19, see if I can get there before my time runs up. In John 19, the high priest is accusing the Lord Jesus. And what's he accusing him of? Making himself God. And that's still the issue today. That's still the issue at the United Nations. That's the issue with all these false cults and gods of the world, is who was Jesus? That's still it today. Look in chapter 19, verse 7 of John. Pilate has just said in verse 6, I find no fault in him. And in verse 7, the Jews answered Pilate, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. Now look at the next verse, verse 8. Then Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. Wow. Even in the crucifixion, God identified his Son. And that identification is still what the issue is today with all those that reject him. But thank God if you know him as your Lord and Savior this morning. All right, our time's up. We'll have a break here, 7-8 minutes. Let the choir come in, and we hope that you'll stay with us. See what